Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode recap here for the Challenge 36 Double Agents. I did not prepare the number in my head, and I think I'm officially declaring this the week where I forget what number it is. I want to say it's 6. Last week, I think, was 5. Okay, I'm probably right about that, but I still declare this is the week that I'm officially going to start forgetting, because this is the most exciting way that I can think to start the podcast. But we have another episode here in the books. Of course, I am not alone. I am joined by my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how is it going today?
Hello, hello. I'm, you know, like you said, it's another episode. I feel like we've been blessed with a bunch of great episodes. This one, I think, was a little bit below average, not only in the outcome of how I wanted things to go, but I think I was excited for this challenge, but ultimately don't think it played out in a super exciting way. So, yeah, I'm doing pretty good, though.
I mean, I think we're all doing pretty good. Life is getting a little more improved these days. This is the first podcast, at least, probably for both of us, that we're recording in these new times, at least some things are changing for the better. So there's that. So look at us go. We'll see how, you know, other things start to shake out in terms of improvements around the world. But for at least some things are getting better. The challenge is at least staying pretty consistent. I hopped on a stream with Taryn Armstrong yesterday, as you know, and some people might know. He asked me towards the end of that what I would rate this episode, and I said 6 out of 10. So I don't know. And you answered in the chat. You said 4.
I did say a 4. I think it's slightly below average. I feel like we spent so much time on both the challenge and elimination. The challenge, where I like this type of challenge, but I don't need to see it stretch so many segments. So a little bit dragged there when I feel like a lot of it also we didn't see that much, but we'll talk about that more. So I don't feel like I feel like something big happened this episode, but there wasn't that much content for how big it was.
Yeah, I probably, before even like diving deep into it and getting like your full takes on the episode, probably can drop myself down to like a 5 from where I was, you know, having rewatched the episode as well today to take notes for this. Probably down to like a 5. It was pretty, you know, nothing too surprising happened. Nothing too, awful happened. Actually, that's not true. Something pretty awful happened. Ashley went home. But we're getting pretty used to that happening. So as much as it stings every single time, this is like the 4th time now that we've had to come in here reporting on an Ashley leaving situation. So I am becoming numb to it as much as it really hurts. I think maybe it's just something about the fact that we always know from Ashley that she's ready to get back in there for the next season that makes it sting a lot less. But, I mean, it's not fun.
Yeah, it sucks. The thing is that we already lost Ashley this season. I didn't really feel like this had ultimately been a good setup for her, as evidenced by the week one exit already. So it wasn't too surprising that no one was willing to really put themselves on the line for Ashley, maybe even when they should have been for some people. So I would say that, like, while yes, I am very sad about it, I wouldn't have rather lost Cam. So I am, you know, kind of getting used to it, unfortunately.
Yeah, this season has been highlighting a lot about this rookie alliance. And looking at the board here for who is remaining in the game, that alliance is still fully intact, aside from one player that they had, you know, Liv, who was taken out of the game for, you know, a medical reason. Everybody else that they've been working with has still been going strong. They got rid of Tori last week, and now by association with Teresa, who obviously has been making it clear that she's friends with that group, they got out Ashley again, which, you know, she'd already been out, but, you know, she came back into the game, and now they have another champion out, or they have another strong player out of the game, somebody that, you know, could probably be a threat to take a gold skull from them or get their gold skull from them later on in the season. Just I don't agree with the sentiment about, you know, weak versus not weak or whatever, but it goes without saying that all of these rookies are inexperienced, right? They're doing a lot of the eliminations that are going to be upcoming for the first time, while the veterans have done them how many times by now? So I don't think it's completely unfair to say that, like, those are easier wins for them, but point I'm trying to make is that with all of these veterans leaving the house, you know, back to back here, that group does seem set up pretty well. So hard to knock anything that they're doing wrong.
For sure. I don't blame that side of the house at all. I think they're playing completely ideally. There's so many seasons where we come in and say, like, why aren't they doing this? And so that's not going to be my problem. My problem is going to be with other people who are allowing this to happen. But yeah, as far as the rookies are going, like, I'm enjoying everything we're getting from the majority of the rookies on this season. So that's not a complaint for me at all.
Yeah, and I know they're not super relevant to what happened this week, but just bouncing off what you just said there, like, what do you make of people like CT and Anissa, who are essentially, like, they got the plan from Teresa here this week, where she was like, I want Asha to go in, and didn't seem like put up much of a fight about it. I guess it can't be too surprising from CT, because he wasn't, like, the most thrilled that Ashley came back, because I guess he saw his game going in a good direction, but, like, still surprising to see them be not, like, wanting to talk her out of that. To me.
Yeah, there's some surprising votes that I'm sure we'll get to. At least Anissa did not go along with what she was told necessarily. I don't know why she wasn't maybe a little more vocal about that. Maybe because the vote was close this week. It was only 9-7, and with a couple of thrown votes in there. So things could have gone differently had people, you know, really spoken about this or voted with what they actually wanted to happen rather than throwing their votes. So it's a little disappointing in there. I know with CT, he's probably, you know, getting as far under the radar, and he's partnered with Big T, so he's really trying to, you know, throw his lot in there more so than have a, you know, any of his, like, rather than, like, raise his profile anymore by going with the other winner in the house, Ashley. But I think probably from Big T and CT, a questionable move also here.
Yeah, I guess let's just kind of swing back around to the top and kind of talk it through as a lot, because it did kind of feel like it was playing out in a specific order based on how things shook out for Teresa in the last episode with the decision she made to, you know, kind of betray Anissa and Tori, if you would call it a betrayal. That feels a little bit dramatic for what happened, but I don't know. She's playing both sides, so I guess call it what you will. But yeah, so Nani and Teresa, if anybody is new to the show, just isn't as familiar with what happened with them, I think we talked about it a good amount when we were, like, previewing the cast, but just to remind you that two of them just have some history there. They were, like, they started off good friends back in the day, and then kind of quickly that dissolved, and they became just not the biggest fans of each other, and there was an elimination, a pretty intense one, where Teresa was, like, out of the game. She was brought back into the game for specific circumstances. Teresa and her partner, it was Leroy at the time, took out Nani and Bananas in that elimination, and that's what Nani was talking about when she was saying that, like, I think Teresa might want to go against me because she's beaten me before. She, you know, she knows that she has that over me, which, I mean, it's like 10 years later, so I don't know why we're acting like that would be some kind of guaranteed win for Teresa. But the fact that we see a lot in this episode, especially early on here, of Nani going to everybody being like, yeah, that's Teresa, that's her game, I'm like, okay, wow, so this really is not over. Like, these two really have no trust in each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Teresa definitely got big time exposed last week. I don't know how she hit it so well, allegedly, that Anissa didn't see it coming at all. And then all of a sudden this week, everyone is looking at Teresa as enemy number one. Why is she playing both sides? I know Lolo specifically confronts her. And for people that did not watch Celebrity Big Brother, Lolo has no problem. She is allowed to talk to both sides of the house. But if you're doing it, that is not allowed. So she confronts Teresa here, and I think Teresa is correct to, you know, this is not a confrontation I want, and I'm just going to say whatever I have to say to get out of this. But bad on her to end up in this position already in the game.
I do give her points, though, for acknowledging amidst all of that chaos with Lolo there in the kitchen of, like, okay, wait, this is not a fight I'm ready to take on. Like, this is not a person I want to get into it with. Even, like, I have no idea what Teresa's history of knowing about Lolo on reality TV is, but at the very least, like, she could see it building up in front of her, and I'm sure that Lolo has probably, you know, off camera or off, you know, something we haven't seen so far, had some kind of, like, something happen in the house to this point. So I don't think Teresa, you know, it probably doesn't take much to identify that this is something within Lolo. But the fact that she was like, yeah, I'm not doing this with her. And when things already started to get tense there, she was like, all right, look, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to yell at you. I'm not trying to, you know, to whatever this is here. I just want to, you know, make everything peaceful or whatever she was trying to negotiate with her. So I was like, that's a much better move than what this could have ended up being.
For sure. The only question I have is if this has become basically common knowledge that Teresa is playing both sides and people don't really know where she stands, I would have liked to seen Anissa find out about this to maybe if she confronted Teresa. That seems like a likely thing that happens. So I don't know why we didn't see that. Maybe it makes more sense in next week's episode or a little bit further down the line. But I feel like that's the payoff here, is Anissa finding out that her best friend maybe doesn't have her best interests at heart all the time. And I don't feel like we really got any payoff on that.
Best friend seems a little severe to call the two of them.
Okay, well, you know, relative terms.
Like, they probably haven't spoken a word since the last time they were on shows together. But yeah, I mean, they definitely, you know, were kind of linking up as just, you know, veteran players in the house and whatnot. And I mean, we did see that on screen. And it does seem like Anissa's kind of holding a grudge against her for, you know, what happens here. You know, it doesn't feel like things are going to get to a much better place. Hopefully that's not like a spoilery kind of statement, just because Anissa has been seeming pretty like annoyed with her on social media and on her podcast and whatnot. So I don't know. I guess all of this happening here was just really getting under her skin. And I have no idea if it gets any better, but my guess is no. So, yeah, I don't know. Anything else there specifically from this part of the episode or anything else?
No, not from Anissa and Teresa. I feel like we're good there.
All right. The next big thing before we get to the challenge is going to be the exit of one Leo Rush, as he talks to Nani about how difficult it was for him to be here, and he's going to pack it up and head out.
Yeah, did not see this coming at all. Leo's someone that I had decently high hopes for on the season, both as a competitor and as a character on the show. Unfortunately, I don't feel like we really got far enough in. They probably, you know, knew this was coming and didn't spend a ton of time investing in Leo on the show outside of the preview special before the season. He got some airtime, but other than that, I feel like he's been pretty invisible. So unfortunate. I do like how they handled this, though. That definitely seemed much better handled than they have in basically any other time that someone has left the show before.
Yeah, so I actually, and I talked about this with Taryn as well, I was saying, you know, I think we're probably all on the same page that they handled this in a really nice, unexpected way on the show, with both TJ, what he had to say about it, giving Cam that confessional to just kind of like speak to the audience and be like, before anybody like jumps down Leo's throat, like this is a really good thing that he's doing and taking his mental health into his own hands, especially, you know, she's talking about in the Black community, mental health isn't spoken about as much as it should be. So it was supportive on pretty much all ends on the show. And I think the audience was probably leaving with the same kind of sentiment of like, okay, this is him doing something good for himself. And it's not like we were like, you know, invested in him much as a character. I guess that's just based on editing to this point, to be like, you know, oh, he had something so good going for him. So it's just like, all right, he needed to leave. He's gone. That's, you know, the end of the story there. So glad that he was able to, you know, make that decision for himself. And he also talked about it on the after show with Devin Simone, that is, you know, it's available on YouTube. He talked a little bit about it, and I think you also said he had a tweet that was just kind of explaining things.
Yeah, so beyond even what he said on the show, where he talked about on the show about how waking up in a house full of strangers was bringing him back to his time in a group home, supposedly he also then talked to everyone in the house in kind of a, I think it was kind of like a group meeting type things, letting them know that he was going to be going home, and really explained it. He also explained it better on Twitter. I recommend if you have any further questions or interest to go ahead and read it in his words, but basically talks about how in April of 2020, he was let go from the WWE, which is dream job. And that is definitely a huge contributing factor, and definitely paints a more clear picture on why that and the pandemic and his family really creates not a great situation for Leo being in this house. And I think it is enough of an extenuating circumstance where I wonder if they will call him back in the future. I would not probably bet on it, but I don't think it's impossible.
Yeah, and I think back to like Champs versus Pros and Stars and all that kind of stuff, and a handful of people on the Stars side of those shows also either would quit the show entirely or just kind of give up. People like Leo Rush and any of those other people that I'm referring to, they want to be entertainers. Like the WWE, they want to be in that business. It's as much as it's wrestling, it's also, it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's an entertainment business. So they want to be performers and all that kind of stuff. They get, you know, the call to do a show like this, and it's like, oh, you know, being on TV, that's entertainment. But then they realize the game that is going on and the game that has become, if it wasn't always, you know, as cutthroat as it is. And he talked about that in the after show, I want to say, is where I heard it, of just this wasn't really the environment he was expecting to be thrown into or to be, you know, putting himself in. Now that he knows, potentially, if he is going to ever come back, like, he'll be more prepared for that. And it won't be in the middle of a pandemic and his wife won't be pregnant. You know, they were expecting at the time while he was out there. So there's a bunch of different factors that I guess contributed to that. So ultimately, yeah, I'm glad that they were able to support him leaving, that they put that on the screen in the, you know, in the bottom of the screen with some information about, you know, places to go and, you know, numbers to call if you are struggling with mental health of your own. So did impress me, I guess, that they handled this the way they did.
For sure. Yeah, and that's something that we've been looking for a while, and I'm glad that, you know, they've done after shows and some talks about mental health, but I'm glad that it was handled appropriately, like, in real time, not just like, oh, looking back, we should throw a title card or something up.
For sure. But with Leo leaving the game, I don't know if this was the plan. We were talking about this, if Devin was specifically planning for this to be the case or not.
Yep.
His status as a rogue agent disappeared. He was linked up with Gabby, and he was now where he was probably not originally supposed to run this challenge this day. Now is going to join up with Gabby, and the two of them are now a team. So I don't know if that was his plan. It did flop in his face.
Yeah, as soon as Leo was out, my next thought was like, well, Devin, your plan did not work. So whether we're attributing that to him falsely or not, it definitely funny to see where he screws over Tori and then ends up completely vulnerable the next week anyway.
Mm-hmm. So that's that. What'd you think of this challenge here? We have, it's TJ called it Mission Smuggle Run. The challenge name said Smuggle Run, but I heard him say Mission Smuggle Run. So that's what I put in my notes. We had a sponsored challenge here by some protein something that I did not bother to care much about. They ended up getting some cash for winning this at the end with Jay and Teresa there. But what'd you think of this one?
So I really like the idea of this challenge. I think that it was set up fine, you know, well enough, but ultimately I don't think that it was edited phenomenally. I feel like a lot of time was spent here just on like, okay, and now like I'm trying hard and now I'm upset and now it didn't really translate super well for me. We have too many segments in my opinion. But I don't want to see this type of challenge go away in the future. I just hope that they, maybe there should have been more checkpoints or more interesting checkpoints rather than just like climb over a wall. But that is, you know, left me kind of wanting more with this challenge.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know that I guess, like, when it's this kind of challenge where it's just, like, a 5-mile run with two checkpoints, it's definitely never going to be the most exciting, but I think I care more about like the way that the results shake out to see who is going to be performing well, because it kind of gives you an idea of like, all right, so when we get down towards the end, they all of them are calling it a mini final. You actually can kind of feel better about any, you know, predictions that you might be making or just kind of feeling out where the season might be going if that's something that you're looking to track. So, you know, we had some impressive runs here for Jay, Teresa, Corey, and Ashley. I think Cam and Kyle ended up finishing in third. So, you know, I guess nothing was surprising about the order there, but I did, I guess, think it was worth mentioning, or at least I acknowledged while watching that that entire rookie alliance that has been doing so well politically, none of them finished in like the top half of competitors in the challenge. So I was like, you might need to step it up a little bit or get some even more of these big names out, because they're all beating you guys.
Yeah, definitely a little rough. And I agree, where like the challenge was not the most exciting on TV and the episode, I think that there's more to discuss here than there was to necessarily watch. And so while I think like, hey, it was nice to be reminded that like Nani shines in endurance, and Josh, guess what? He was good enough to get them fourth place. So it definitely was good to see people who have not been able to shine in other challenges really show off. Like, if they were to make it to a final, maybe they do stand a better shot than we otherwise would give them credit for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, fills in some information gaps of, like, things that you know, you see that either this person can do in the first place, or just a reminder for, exactly like you said, somebody like Nani that, like, okay, like, don't count her out when it comes to, you know, any kind of running, any kind of endurance, which usually she doesn't get much acclaim for anything about the way that she competes, but, you know, just here's a reminder that she can do it. But yeah, we had a couple of highlights with some of the teams here. Besides the people that did well, we had a couple of teams not doing so well. Big CT was struggling a little bit, but ultimately seemed to pull through. Fessy and Anissa struggling a little bit, as Anissa is not the best with I guess in general endurance. That's what Fessy, mm-hmm. you know, likes to point out anytime that he has the opportunity to, now that they're partners again. And of course, Nam and Lolo also, but we'll get to those two in a bit and the story that unfolds there. But yeah, not so good for some of the teams there.
No, not great. And I do think, I don't remember if someone flagged it up on the episode or the aftermath or where, but it definitely was valid in talking about the height differences for teams being a major issue. So where CT and Fessy are the tallest, and they're, I wouldn't put it solely on the height differences, but I don't think it's a coincidence that those two teams came in last also, being that when you're like one end of the capsule is so much higher, the weight comes down all on the shorter end of the capsule, which mm-hmm. just happened to be two people that maybe not would not have performed as well in a 5-mile run anyway. So probably, you know, only compounded on that, not totally, you know, letting Big T off the hook. I really do think a 5-mile run should be very, you know, kind of the baseline in showing up here, especially when you want to be doing better. So hopefully Big T, you know, is training a little more for the next season, the endurance, you know, side of things.
Yeah.
But to see them struggle wasn't ultimately super surprising, but yeah.
And, you know, we had, what, 11 teams here. By the time we get to the final, there will only be, what, like 8 of them left. So at a certain point, it's like you do only have to pick. You do only have to beat X amount of people rather than this entire field. So, you know, as long as they can keep training a little bit, I think who was it? Anissa, maybe, that was saying that Nani is like always training. So even again, mm-hmm. if she doesn't always get the credit that maybe she is working harder to deserve these days, or to get these days, that, you know, she's trying hard in the house to keep herself on the, you know, going for it. What did you think of Amber M claiming that she was pretending that the capsule was a family member so that she could keep it off the ground?
Hey, whatever's got to work, you know, it's not easy, especially like Amber M and Michi, probably a good matchup. Like I said, both being the smallest in the house, because if Amber being, you know, very petite, it was with Fessy, I don't know how that thing is even getting on her shoulders. She, you know, may as well throw her in the capsule for Fessy to carry. So have a better chance. So, you know, decently impressed with Amber and most of the other rookies in this challenge.
Yeah, they also, by the way, run really, really fast when you watch the episode back on 2x speed. So,
oh, yeah, that is true.
Really, really fast. I was like, look at you go, Anissa. Crazy stuff. And then my last note here from the challenge itself is, Ashley, you need to stop going in the confessional room and telling everybody advice on how to beat you in the next season. Mm-hmm. Both last week when she was like, a good piece of advice is when you like root for people that are definitely going to win the elimination. Like, don't give people that tip. And then this week she's like, go home and play your numbers game so then you can beat me. I'm like, stop telling them what to do, Ash.
Especially when it's like Ashley has been consistently going home because she is a threat. And when I think, sight unseen, if Ashley is showing up and people don't know a lot about her, I don't know that people would be so concerned about Ashley as a threat compared to someone like a Lolo or a Natalie showing up. But when she's constantly reminding you that, like, I am much smarter than all of you, then yeah, I understand why you're being targeted so early. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Corey was like, I feel like a proud dad watching her just, you know, go through the puzzle. I was like, yeah, no, we all feel great about it, watching her do what she's, you know, what she lives for these parts of the finals to do. Like, she's great at it, but still don't want her telling everybody about how great she is and reminding them, because that's why she keeps getting so targeted, but whatever. Everybody except Anissa and Ashley, everybody timed out on that.
I think it was, did Anissa eventually get it? I think Jay and Teresa got it, right?
Did they? I thought it was just Ashley and Anissa that got it, but maybe Jay not. Did.
Yeah, I thought that Jay and Teresa did, which that's what I was going to say is I feel like so many of these puzzles, the majority, if not everyone, is timing out on, which maybe they need to reevaluate these puzzles, or maybe don't let people time out on them so easily so that people are actually putting in effort in studying and getting better at this for next season. So I feel like one of the two things has to happen.
Yeah, I mean, they probably do have to have, you know, a time limit no matter what. It's 15 minutes wasn't, you know, anything crazy, especially if it's a mini final. I think a usual final, they'd probably be there for like a half hour. So, you know.
Yeah.
Is what it was there. But let's get to it. The big story here from this challenge that's going to leak into when we get to the house. Lolo and Nam, the struggle for communication between the two of them. And I really don't think it had anything to do with, you know, Nam not having, you know, the best English in general or anything like that. It just genuinely felt like one of two things, either Lolo being Lolo or nope, just that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it is solely based on English being Nam's second or third language, I believe, but definitely doesn't help, especially when in a 5-mile run competition, not going to be as easy to communicate. But Lolo, you know, kind of immediately was like, I have a shoulder injury. Oh, and I have this. And like I said, they're basically the closest in height that you're going to hope for on of any of these teams. So I don't know why this didn't work better, and I think that ultimately I'm looking at Nani brought up something on the aftermath, and she was theorizing that Lolo looks at this more as a relationship than a partnership, and that may have something to do with the struggles that Lolo is going on with right now.
I mean, she literally said in confessional, my guy is saying absolutely nothing to me. Like, my guy?
Yeah.
Like, are you trying to say, like, your guy, like, your man? Like, are you calling him as if he's, like, your boyfriend or something? Like, not even calling him by his name. Just, my guy is saying absolutely nothing to me. And it wasn't like, you know, some people would be like, you know, my guy over here, like, in, like, a jokey friend kind of way. She was like, my guy, like, my man that was supposed to be in this. I was like, what is this wording?
Yeah, interesting word choice. I mean, we've seen it all season where there's been some flirtation. Lolo has been on Twitter very public about how maybe it was not publicly returned as much as she would have liked. So I think that they don't have the team dynamic working in that way, and that is probably going to be a problem. Like I said, Nani was talking about how she thought Lolo was losing sight that even a game was going on at certain points in the house, and when something was going wrong, then Lolo was going to Nani to talk about it, and oh, why is it Nam like this, and yada yada. So I think that it probably was more so than much communication going wrong on the field than stuff from outside bleeding into the challenge.
Yeah, and they, you know, needed this little therapy session afterwards when they get back to the house about how they just can't get on the same page, and Lolo is talking to him about how this is like the hardest team style she's ever had to adapt to, being on a team with one other person who she like seems to like. So I don't know how this is the hardest team she's ever had to deal with. She's been in the Olympics, but I'll let her decide that for herself. And I don't know, you feel for Nam during this, because he just kept saying in confessional, like, she's hurting my feelings, like, she's making me feel like I'm not good enough or whatever. Like, she's not taking, like, we see that she's not taking any of the blame. She's putting it all on him, saying, you know, like, this is all, you know, you weren't communicating enough. And I mean, from what I saw, he was trying his best. He was doing his best. Like, you guys probably should talk it out. Like, they were maybe trying to, but it wasn't getting anywhere. Nam was just walking away feeling upset. Lolo was getting so upset, so choked up. I wrote in my notes, Lolo is so choked up while she's crying, she sounds like somebody on a Zoom call with a bad connection.
Oh no. Yeah, I mean, I understand the difference in mentality for someone like Anam, who maybe even was leaning more towards the Anissa school of thought. It was like, someone's already won, why am I running across the finish line? This doesn't make any sense. There's no need to do it. But it's also, I guess, maybe like Teresa, like, this is not an argument that I need to have. I'm just going to say I want to walk, and that's it. So it's clearly they have two different philosophies in how they approach competition, even if they are at the same level, you could argue.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been interesting to watch them all season because they haven't been specifically tied with anybody in the house. I did hear Nani say on the after show that Lolo and her have been kind of close this season, or at least Lolo, like, comes to confide in her when she's having a hard time with something. So that's a relationship that, you know, if we're not seeing it on the screen, at least we know it exists somewhere. But they haven't been tied to anybody. It's just kind of been the two of them, like, you know, just unable to really get on the same page. So hard to say where it's going here, but, you know, doesn't seem to be positive directions. Like, even though they are very strong competitors together and on a scary looking team with the two of them together, it's hard to say that, like, if I was power ranking likelihood to win a final with all of these teams right now, I mean, they finished seventh in the challenge. So maybe that's where I would rank them.
I still have them pretty high, to be honest. I think
The communication is just not there. You need to have some level of communication. Like, just think back to one I watched recently, the final of Dirty 30, right? No, Invasion, I'm sorry, where, you know, we had the couple of different partners and Camilla and Corey and all of that. Like, that's a strong team. Camilla being on a team would have given anybody a boost, but the fact that there was just arguing going on, like, it got them nowhere.
Yeah, that's fair. No, it definitely is valid. It's just this one competition is not going to be enough to make me, you know, push them that far down the line, especially when, given recent trends, the final is going to be much harder than this. So I think that other teams are going to be disqualified based on that fact alone in terms of beating them. And hopefully they can recover, but I guess it remains to be seen.
I genuinely would have Josh and Nani above Lolo and Nani.
That's wild, and that was what I was going to ask. But
I truly would. I'm looking at the list of, like, where everybody finished, and Josh and Nani finished fourth. Lolo and Nam finished seventh. Other teams that finished above them: Cam and Kyle, Casey and Leroy, which I think I definitely would have them above them, and Amber and Darrell. I don't see any reason why I would put it. I don't think anybody can underestimate the power and the value just became the value of communication, how much that's needed. So I'm going to plant my flag on that one, but we'll see how it goes. There's still a lot of game to be played.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
So what else is going on here? Jay and Teresa won the challenge. Teresa is feeling like everybody is looking at her kind of like being salty because she just won, and maybe she would have been in some kind of danger otherwise. Nobody knows where her head is at. Ashley comes back to check in with Teresa because she is a paranoid Pam, and she's really, like, not feeling comfortable, wants to know what's happening, but Teresa isn't really giving her much to work with. They're going to head out to, go out for the night in the igloo in the back of the house. Nani's still talking about being worried about Teresa. Jay and Kyle talking here. I don't know. Jump in with anything from this part of the episode that maybe caught your attention.
From the dome? Yeah, it's just generally, you know, we got a few quick scenes there. We're reminded of the Nani and Teresa drama that seems to keep being flagged up and I thought would pay off this episode. And no, just another red herring, apparently. As far as the Kyle and Jay, I feel like, you know, quick scene to justify the anger later, so not too surprising. I don't really know where Jay fits in this house, because I know, like you say, you don't know where Lolo and Nam, but I know Nam is in pretty good with the Kyles and Devins and CT in that room. So, and I know Nam and Jay are close. So does that extend where Jay is kind of leaning that way? Or is he ultimately just floating where he said he was?
Yeah, I feel like everything they've said about Jay and Teresa so far has been that they are in the middle of the house, and that really has been, you know, amplified a lot in the past 2 weeks because of the fact that, like, I mean, people are leaving and it's starting to be time to, like, kind of have to pick a side, especially when you win a challenge like Teresa and Jay just did. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think they even needed to show us anything more. Like, I have no issues with the end as far as Jay goes to this point, because they showed us in this episode Jay telling Kyle, you're good, Jay telling Corey, you're good, and then immediately at the end of this episode, when it's time for the elimination, completely going back on that and them not being good and being one TJ joke away from actually going into elimination against each other. And, you know, that would have been even worse if it's not already terrible for Jay here. So, a lot of scenes to set it all up.
I think that Ashley's, like, paranoia that they bring up in this episode, probably, like, the damage was already done. I think that Ashley may have a little bit of overgaming in her, and that is probably what is partially to blame for her downfall here. But as far as this episode, I give her no blame. Where Teresa, it's like a minute before the deliberation is going to be happening, at least as far as we're seeing it, and she's actively campaigning to get Ashley thrown in, and Ashley says, like, what's the plan? She's like, oh, like, I don't know, I don't really have one. Like, that means it's you. So it's not surprising, like, you're not pulling that off on Ashley. She knows, yeah. Like, if there's no name, it's me. I am the one that you are targeting. So bad on Teresa for not having something planned for that. And that's why I don't blame Ashley for, you know, starting to get a little frantic and running around the house at this point.
Yeah, Teresa kept talking about, you know, it's a power move for the girls. It's a power move. Like, I think she's talking about the Rookie Girls Alliance and being like, you know, it's a big move for all of them and me, for us to get out somebody who we know isn't, you know, tied to us, which also is like a little confusing because Big T and Ashley, I thought that they were, you know, close enough where Big T might say, like, let's keep Ashley around. I am, you know, I think that I can get her to work with us, rather than, I don't know who else is out there. Lolo, I don't know what she's doing with that group. I don't know, like, what the relationship is between that group and Cam, but Cam does seem pretty confident about all the numbers she has. So maybe there's connections that are just kind of intertwined in there. Plus the Big Brother aspect of it all, that's still lingering, like, beneath all the surface of all of this. So I don't know. It's, you know, the interviews that a lot of these people do either postseason or during the season really fill in the majority of the gaps, like when you're breaking down the gameplay, like, of all for of this sure. stuff. It's just, even with a 90-minute episode, they cut out so much stuff. I feel like Anissa was saying, I think it was a tweet from her, actually, that she was like, they got rid of so much in this episode to explain, like, how we got here to Ashley being the name.
That's the thing. And like I said, a big move happens and I don't feel like there was a lot of content here. So where Big T was on Twitter even talking about how when she was arguing about with Joseph about, like, who she wanted to align with, she refused to vote for Ashley in the first episode. Her and Ashley are close. So was CT the one who was like, we got to do this? Because ultimately CT and Big T vote for Ashley, and I did not expect that. Yeah. I thought, like, if anything, like, maybe Big T wouldn't campaign for her openly at this point, but I did not expect her to be voting for her. So I feel like they did do a bad job of explaining where, you know, a lot of where some of these votes came from, at least.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley, I definitely think could have been a help to both Big T and CT, but it just kind of, I guess, like, if I'm trying to, you know, work out what their logic was for making, you know, for voting for her and, I guess, actively contributing towards her going home, it's just after she left, like, their games were just on, you know, on a steady increase all the way through up until when she ended up coming back into the game. So if they didn't need her then to be doing well, it's like, do they need her now? Is her being back and associated with potentially both of them? Because we, you know, we know that those connections are there. It could end up hurting them if anything goes, you know, wonky along the way. So I guess they ultimately just didn't need them. But I don't know. It still feels like there's still so many people in the house that it wouldn't have hurt to have her around longer than, you know, for what the 3 days that she stayed after coming back.
Yeah. And yeah, that is valid, because I definitely do acknowledge it's probably a better place for Big T to be the leader of the Rookie Alliance rather than, like, Ashley's apprentice. So, like, yeah, I get it from that perspective. But at the same time, is Amber M a more valuable tool for Big T? I don't necessarily see that.
It's, you know, could be possible that Big T knows she will have to get her skull at some point, and maybe, like, is looking also within her alliance that she might end up having to face off against one of them, and maybe feels better about facing Amber M versus facing Ashley.
That's fair. And I also, probably the challenge being what it was today and seeing that Big T is probably going to ultimately struggle quite a bit against Ashley in a final may have also contributed to this decision. Yeah, but I wish we were hearing this.
Yeah, I agree. We get to the deliberation, and it's kind of awkward here. Nani's like, so are we just doing the plan that we all heard? Are we, we all voting for Ashley? And, you know, a couple of people raising their hands saying that they're not voting for Ashley. Cam had been tweeting about this as well, saying, like, we made the mistake once of voting for Ashley and she ended up leaving, and that wasn't really great for our games. Like, like you said, like, they have a good relationship, so they weren't about to do it all again. But the only problem, as we're going to see it all plays out, is that Ashley, you know, makes her pitch and is trying to get Amber M to get all of the votes. But with all of these different burn votes that ended up coming in, people voting for Gabby and Devin rather than putting the votes where they needed to be to save Ashley in the game, that's where it all played out. So that's obviously what led to the fire that Ashley had going into that elimination, of just being like, you guys are dumb. Like, if you wanted me to stay, you know, helping me would have been voting for the one person that potentially could have gotten more votes than me. The burn vote did you nothing.
Yeah. And this is the problem where I feel like burn votes make more sense when, like, I get like, oh, public voting, burn vote. But no, the only thing that's public is where the majority was. So throwing your vote somewhere else, like, does you no good, because I may as well have assumed if I'm Amber M and Michi, like, Leroy and Cam, their names weren't on that list, then they could have voted against me for all I know. So it doesn't, I don't understand all of these vets who have seen. Okay, by this point, I don't know how you don't realize that it has been vet going home, vet going home, rookie getting evacuated, vet going home, vet going home, vet going home. And so it's like where I have Cam, Leroy, Nani throwing their vote on Gabby when they know Gabby's not going home. Leroy stands up saying, like, I'm not voting for Ashley. It's like, okay, well, if you don't want Ashley to go home, vote for the other person who is going to be getting more votes. And where it can bite you in the butt, like, next eliminate, if Ashley goes home, like, Cam could be thrown in next week, or guess what, she could be thrown in against Ashley this week. So it's frustrating to see people who normally would be advocating for not throwing your votes in situations like this to be doing it week after week.
Yeah, this is such a weird show to analyze strategy of. And I only say that because, you know, now that I'm also getting into some Survivor rewatches and just Big Brother's always, you know, an easy one to kind of analyze what's going on there, because the gameplay, you know, while there may be a different twist or change in both Survivor or Big Brother, like, you know what the game is at all times. Like, you know that you're going to get to the merge, and you know, like, what the plan you are probably setting out for at that point. And then you can plan like 7, 8, 9 steps ahead if you want to continue thinking down the line. But a game like this, when you literally never know, is there going to be a purge? Is it going to be a guy's day, a girl's day? Is it going to be 30 people in the final? Is it going to be 2 people in the final? Like, you just, like, it can, you can, you have a hard time accounting for, like, so many different elements of the game. It does genuinely feel at different points of, like, you can only take it day by day, and just in that moment, like, taking out people that you think are going to be good for you. Well, I don't know. It just, I've been thinking more about, in general, the strategy of it all. It does seem a little bit harder than some of the other games, but I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah. And I'm also surprised in terms of the voting. I don't know why everyone assumed it was a woman's day, because they were assuming that Devin would have been a rogue agent, meaning that there would be one more guy than girl. So I would assume it would be a guy's day, and that's what they would be set up for. Yeah. So I don't know where the whole house agreed all of a sudden that it's a women's day. We feel confident enough to risk Corey and Kyle, who multiple people that voted for those teams are friends with, and never thought like twice about the possibility of them going in against each other.
Yeah, and I don't know how they knew or what they thought they knew. I mean, it does seem like in the house they have a general idea of like what day is coming up next. Like, they've been able to predict it relatively accurately so far, because the fact that Ashley is pitching what she's saying in the certain way of like, we don't know that it's going to be a woman's day, like, it could be a guy's, it just felt like they all actually knew, even though like they didn't 100% know. It felt like they were all like 90% confident that it was going to be a women's day, and that's why they voted the way they voted, and that's why Ashley was making this pitch and like, you don't know for sure. Like, even though I agree with you that like it definitely did, like it could have been a guy's day, but it just seemed like they all knew. So I don't know.
Yeah, which I don't get, and I would love to know, but maybe it's because like, oh, Leo quit, so they're not gonna have two guys go home in the same episode like structure. But I would have been assuming it was a guy's day, and when TJ goes ahead and makes that joke, I was like, oh, duh, it's a guy's day, and then no, egg on my face, it's not. So that was frustrating.
You going to your Twitter timeline, like sticking up your middle finger to everybody in the same way that Ashley did,
and yeah, all of a sudden, no, fully
delete tweet.
Yeah, I was ready. Like, I had strong words for TJ. Yeah.
Yeah. Ashley probably did too, after kind of getting a little embarrassed in front of the group there. That was hard to watch, but yeah. Teresa and Jay end up seeing the votes. Teresa is beyond ecstatic to see that the vote worked, that Ashley was the one who got the votes. They do notice that, you know, a bunch of people told them that they were going to vote for Ashley as well and ended up not doing that. So they don't want to tell anyone anything. They, you know, are trying to keep it all under lock and key, especially the fact that they're thinking about throwing Cam in. So all of that's happening. But I mean, Teresa literally did not seem for a second to have believed that this might have possibly like genuinely worked. So the surprise there was a little surprising to me. I was like, you had a plan. Like, people have been doing what the double agents have wanted for weeks now. So I don't know why you're so surprised, but she was. So, and then she tried to get Cam, yeah, Cam to go in. So she's, you know, trying to get the game to go in a more Teresa direction, even though by the end of the episode, it doesn't seem to be, you know, the best possible outcomes.
For sure. And I think I understand why she's surprised, because, yeah, maybe Ashley is not the best connected, but has, you know, some decent friends in this house, whether they're willing to, you know, actually go to bat for her or not. But Corey's pretty well connected. And so where, unless, again, they are super certain that it is a women's day, like, Fessy throws his vote, like, Jay's willing to turn on him, no problem. And, like, there's multiple people here who you would think would not be so willing to be throwing Corey in as the house vote that seem to have no problem with it.
Yeah. So she's gonna, you know, try to get Cam to end up wanting to be the one to go in. Cam is not doesn't look super excited for the idea. We'll see that eventually she is going to be the one that gets selected there. So yeah, Teresa and Jay not playing the best possible as far as just, you know, the move itself. We can talk about whenever, but the way that they led up to it, of, you know, kind of lying to people about this isn't my intention, whatever, blah blah blah, it's not like, you know, I don't know, like, would they have benefited from having people feel better because they were not lied to? Hard to say. I don't know, but it didn't get presented in the way that that, you know, showed that they did the right thing here, especially for Jay, who was like the entire, at least the entire like last part of the episode when he was talking about the move itself, like, obviously those get recorded after the fact. He just was like kicking himself. He was down. He was like, ugh, I just, ugh.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about, okay, it ends up, it's Ashley and Cam. Do you think this was the right move for Teresa?
I don't think it was the wrong move for Teresa, but again, kind of tying it back to what I was saying, like, she went about it the wrong way, I think. I think if she was somewhat, like, found a way to be more honest with Ashley about the fact that she was going in, and I don't even know how to, like, how to describe what I'm feeling towards her method with Cam, because the move to get out a strong player here, Cam or Ashley, both of whom she knows are not genuinely trying to work with her, isn't a bad move, but it's, I don't know, maybe it's just, if you're going to make a power move like this, you're always going to end up with an enemy. But Big T made a power move, and I don't know that Anissa's like rushing to come after her. Maybe it's just because it's Teresa and she has other enemies in the house as well. Like, I don't know that I can knock the specific move here to get those two in. Again, I just feel like the method could have been improved, but I also don't know that I have the answer as to how. I think maybe it's just Teresa.
I'm curious, because I don't feel like we know at all where Casey and Teresa stand. So seems like a strong woman that you are leaving in the game. I know Jay is strongly aligned with Casey, so maybe that was the right disqualifying factor there. But I think ultimately the better move that is available is throwing in Nani instead of Cam, because, like, as far as we've seen, at least, it doesn't seem like Cam and Teresa are strongly aligned, but I also don't see any reason that Cam is going to be coming after Teresa, you know, next week. And whereas Nani, like, there's no repairing that relationship, it seems, so you may as well throw them in. Hopefully she beats Ashley, but worst case, you're losing, like, your biggest rival in the house, and yeah, you're not creating the waves that you did.
I thought about that as well, but I really think that if she's like, if those three women are the targets, you got to do Cam versus Ashley there, because Nani is probably losing that elimination just given historical records for Nani's elimination career. Nani is probably losing that to Ashley there. And then you have Ashley coming back in the house and Cam coming back, who already at this point knows that Teresa was considering putting her in there. You know, sure, she can fall back on, well, I didn't put you in there because you said you didn't want it. So she has that, but like, it's still feels like she just genuinely knew that the three of them all were not really like trying to play the game with her. So yeah, I think if Ashley comes back after beating Nani and Cam is still in the house as well, that's two strong players coming after her at some point or another. So yeah. Now that Ashley's gone, she still has Cam to worry about. Does she have Nani to worry about? Usually, I mean, I took Nani in the draft thinking that like sometimes, you know, she tends to be somebody who will win a couple of dailies during the season and win some power, but hasn't happened yet this season. But, you know, not somebody that you can completely like put to the side and think that they're never going to win. But I don't know. It just hasn't been happening. So.
Yeah, I ultimately either Cam and Teresa, there's a bigger rift than I would have assumed based on what we've seen, or she didn't need to go to her and say that, like, I might throw you in. Like, she could say, like, you know, openly, like, if anyone wants this, like, I'm open. I'll throw you in if you want. And if Cam doesn't take that opportunity, then throw Nani. Like, either there's a bigger rift there than I took from watching these episodes, or in my opinion, she made the wrong move. But that is what it is.
Yeah. Let's talk about the elimination here. It was called Dead Ringers, I believe. It was very visually appealing. You know, it was really cool with all the poles and the lights and whatnot. TJ's like, all right, you're going to swing around on these tall ass poles and, you know, swing and try to get all the rings on. So I thought it looked cool. It wasn't, I don't know, the most compelling to watch, but it is what it is. Cam ended up getting the win there, but what did you think of all of it?
Well, besides the fake out, I thought it was a pretty good elimination. It was like different than things that we've seen before. Seemed pretty fair. Ashley, obviously, I don't know why she thought throwing the rings was a good idea, but obviously struggled a little bit here. So it wasn't the most entertaining, but I appreciated that they're going for something different and we're not just seeing, you know, something time overtime, or like if we saw this again, I wouldn't complain.
Yeah, I mean, considering how elaborate the setup was and like the lights and all that kind of stuff, I was like, they probably should use this again to get their money's worth out of it. Like, it should have been like one of those days where the guys go and the girls go, but was not the case. What else here? Cam got the win. She was like, I really hope that Leroy has the confidence to come down here and get his skull. I'm like, are you both like just sitting there like afraid to come down? Usually, like, I don't know, I thought they would have been. I don't know. I was surprised to hear her say it like that, like Leroy is not feeling ready to come down and get his skull. Like, he just seems so like ready to go this season. It's his final one. He wants to get the skull, but I know he's also trying to play it like, you know, safe and, or not safe, but, you know, play it smartly and make sure he goes down at the right time. So I don't know, but it was Teresa's going to call this a big win for the girls' world yet again, as Ashley is going to go home for a second time and break all of our hearts on the way out.
Yeah, definitely disappointing, but like I said, getting a little bit used to it, unfortunately, especially this season. As far as what Cam said about Leroy, I was especially surprised because it was, what, 3 episodes ago that Cam was the one who was telling Leroy, don't go in against Devin, don't go in against Devin, no matter what you do, do not go in against Devin, when he was the one leaning towards actually going into that elimination. So surprising to see her phrase it that way as well. Maybe nervous for what it means for Leroy in the future, but like you said, curious phrasing.
Yeah. Also, as far as the Ashley thing, the Ashley of it all goes, I was surprised being in the Taryn Armstrong Twitch stream, just to like be reminded that there are people out there that aren't like super fans of Ashley Mitchell, Millionaire Mitchell. Like, obviously, that's like, I don't even necessarily know that I ever thought about it in the way of like people might not like her. Because we obviously both do so much, and Colin and Haley, you know, also big fans of Ashley. I just, I'm pretty sure that like Brian and Allie and anybody that I listen to talk about the challenge usually has good things to say about Ashley. And I caught, you know, before I hopped on the stream, I think Taryn made a comment of like, you know, not saying that he dislikes her, but just saying like she's just kind of there for him. And I was like, wow, I never thought about this, that people might not like her. I mean, I get it. I knew the people on Twitter, but like, I don't know. It was crazy reality for me to open up my eyes to.
I think if you polled the general audience, I think Ashley would be more unpopular than she is popular, to be honest.
I would never have allowed my brain to go there and think that that's a possibility because, I mean, we see it. She's back every season. She's, you know, the Twitter audience, like the people that we are following, at least most For people sure. that I see like her. So I was just like, wow, I can't believe that there's like, you know, that's like... No, I'm not going to say, I was going to say like, it's like somebody saying they don't like Suri, but maybe I won't go that far. Like that's somebody who is universally liked, but I don't know. I was just surprised.
Like even on Reddit, I'm looking at someone made some like random tier list of players. They have Ashley like below Amber B, Josh, Lolo, Joseph, like Joseph is above Ashley. So yeah, that's all you need to know. Ashley is very controversial, I would even say. So it doesn't surprise me ultimately. Who would you have rather kept here between Ashley and Cam at this point?
To stay on the season? That's tough. Mm-hmm. That's like, when we get to eliminations like this, like Ashley versus Natalie, I genuinely feel like I don't have a rooting interest because I want them both to stay. And if they don't, I guess I'm just happy one of them is coming back. I mean, gun to my head, I'm probably saying Ashley, but at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm not going to be happy either way that somebody's going home here.
So the only thing that also comforted me with this is knowing that it's Leroy's last season, allegedly, at least, I am much more interested to watch that play out with Cam and Leroy, especially with this is the first time we've seen them, I believe, right? As a official happy couple, knowing that like this is the real deal outside of here. And so if it's going to be his last season, I want to see them for as long as possible. So I like Cam a ton. I love Ashley also. But if she's got to go so that I can see Cam with Leroy on the last season, like I guess that has to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, and she was already gone. So it's like, what's the difference if it just happens again? And, you know, she'll be around for a while. She's not going anywhere. So, I, you know, again, I always know that we're going to get more Ashley in the future. It just sucks when it's like the middle of a season or beginning of a season, as it's been lately. And we are like already out on her for the season. But what are you going to do? Did you remember that Cam and Leroy have pretty much been linked since Cam's first season? Like,
No, I did not realize that.
Yeah, like they started on Vendettas. I'm sorry, Cam did. And in that house, they grew really close. And it was like highlighted on the show about the two of them kind of having some kind of connection. It seemed more like a friendly thing, but maybe there was more. So it definitely started on the first season that Cam was ever on. Going into Final Reckoning, Leroy's not there, so it's really not relevant. Okay. Going into War of the Worlds, the first one, they're both on that season, and it's, you know, that's the season that Theo's going to debut on. So Cam and Theo had like a little thing happening, but like that's the one that I'm up to in my rewatch. And Leroy's talking about like, I still have feelings for her and she's like out here, you know, kind of hooking up with Theo in front of me or talking to him in front of me or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's the road bump that they're up to as far as War of the Worlds 1 goes. And then World of Worlds 2 is when they were on the team together. And I'm pretty sure that they were an item there, right? Like, so this one, they are actually together, like moved in together and whatnot. But I don't know.
For me, I feel like they were not coming in as an item on War of the Worlds 2. And that was the whole thing where like Nani was mad that Leroy was picking Cam over her.
That season. Yes.
Exactly. So this is, like I said, it's the first time where we're seeing them solidly as an item. And that is what makes me more invested in seeing Cam here, unfortunately, for Ashley.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, I really don't genuinely have an answer to that. I mean, I guess it would end up being Ashley, but I'm fine either way. If one of them has to go, at least one of them gets to stay. But we're getting to a point where I'm like no longer feeling that way. Like I'm running out of people that I'm like I'm going to start having a preference now. Like if Cam and Teresa go in, I probably now want Cam to stay because I'm more invested in her long-term success and getting a win than I am Teresa, even though I do like Teresa. Nani versus Teresa, where am I at with that one? Where are you at with that one? Nani versus Teresa. Are you just mad at Teresa?
I'm definitely mad at Teresa. So, but no, I more so than anything, I just was questioning the play from Teresa and was thinking she's getting a little messy, but It's Teresa's last season. I'd rather Teresa stay, ultimately. And that's how a lot of these will play out, unless I have a strong preference for one person. I would rather see, you know, we're going to get Nani back. That's no question. So I don't need Nani here this season. I'll see her again next season when I don't have many strong feelings about Nani in the first place.
Yeah. So Jay and Teresa are now, you know, public enemy number one throughout the house for at least a couple of people, with the Corys and the Kyles and the Cams and whoever else. So those two might be in some trouble going forward. So we'll keep an eye on that. Ashley even might have them in her, or at least Jay, who is more likely to be on next season than Teresa, now expecting a child. So that won't be, you know, a lot of fun for him if he's there and has to deal with her wrath when the time comes. But that's the situation that they are now in. Cam is going to keep her partner. What else? Anything else stand out to you to talk about here at the end of this episode?
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you thought about Cam keeping Kyle here.
Why not? That's pretty much what I thought about it. What's the difference at this point? To shake things up, take a different partner. Her and Kyle have been performing decently well together. Both of them are very good social players. So it seems like, you know, the fact that she stuck with him tells me that she felt like the game was going well for her at this moment. So why not?
Yeah, I did question a little bit. I liked the we got a montage, right, of certain people being like, all right, Cam, like, pick me, like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
But which is very funny, and Cam deserves it. So glad to see that for Cam. But I think especially with Kyle already having his gold skull, they're not going to end up in a situation like Tori and Devin ended up in, where she's begging to go down, but we don't know if it's a guy or a girl's day. I think it's the right move for now. I don't know that I would say Cam is definitely sticking with Kyle for the rest of the season, but, you know, it's too early, I think, for her to be making that move, especially when Kyle does come with some solid alliance members at this point.
Yeah, I think it's mutually beneficial for both of them, for sure, that this partnership is happening at this time. I don't even know, looking at the board, who else I think that it would be like more beneficial for her to team up with. But
exactly what I was going to ask.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, as far as like, you know, who do you want by your side in a final? Sure, Fessy's an option. Darrell's an option. He's there. CT, you know, probably an option. But that's not the kind of thing that you want to like lock in right now. That's like some of these people, most of these people still haven't gone in and gotten their skull yet. So if that's something you want to arrange for later down the line, do that then, and you know, try to work it later in the game. But I think for the point that they're at now, they haven't even hit halfway yet. Like, Kyle's a perfectly fine partner for Cam,
for sure. And the only way that I see Cam and Leroy picking each other is if it's one of the last like two eliminations, where I think that would be on the table, where like, all right, let's run this together. They're both really strong in the challenge, and especially for his last one, feel like go out on top, hopefully, but go out together.
Yeah.
So I don't think that is a viable move yet. So I ultimately do agree with staying with Kyle also.
Yeah, I mean, they ultimately probably do want to run a final together, right? Like, they both want the win. She's confident that she'll be able to, you know, get him that win if she's paired up with him. It's not like there's any kind of lack in confidence on either of their sides there, at least for Kill a Cam side. We know that for sure. So yeah, so Cam and Kyle, I didn't know that they were the killers. I mean, I know Cam is, but I didn't know Kyle was a killer.
Yeah, well, let's have Kyle took that title from Kaylee, and that's fine. He can keep it. She can get it back.
Yes. I, you know, wait, does Kaylee come back? She was on, yeah, she's on season 34, right?
War of the Worlds 2, yep.
Oh, I haven't gotten to that. Well, you know, that's coming up soon, but for some reason I had in my head that I was done with her, and that would have been nice, but okay, whatever.
If only.
Whatever. All right. That's pretty much all I have for this episode. Anything else on your end?
No, I'm good. I am hoping to get to a slightly better episode next week, hopefully. I'm curious to see the fallout for Jay and Teresa. Like we saw with the votes, like, even Anissa did not go through with Teresa's plan. So it seems like people on all sides are a little bit, you know, waking up to what they're doing. And I am excited to get back here next week.
Yeah, same here. Stan Ashley Mitchell is the final words that I will leave you with. Follow us on social media if you are not already. Brian_Scally on Twitter for Scally, at Matt Ligori for me. If you are curious in anything else we have going on, Scally is always popping up on some Twitch stream somewhere, so I usually check him out on Twitter to see what that is. I am still doing some Glee stuff with Amon, plenty of Glee stuff with Amon, and whatever else I have going on, you'll always see it on Twitter as well. So check that out, give us a follow if you are not already, and let us know what you thought about this week's episode, or about the season as a whole. Any feedback is always welcomed, even though we don't actively ask for it, I guess. We always value it. So if you have anything you want us to talk about or anything, feel free to send it over. But with that said, we will catch you guys next week for another episode of The Challenge. Double Agents, we will talk to you then.